Well, good morning, church. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're so glad that you're with us at Northwestern Church of God. Matter of fact, if you're a guest, I think we probably have a slide for this. If you would text guest to a number on the screen, we would just like to get to know you better and get some information from you, give some information to you. And if that doesn't come up on the screen, it's all good because we changed the order of things a little bit this morning. So here's the thing. You can also go online or onto our mobile app and just let us know a little bit about yourself. If you're looking for a church home, this is a great place to land. I promise you, you'll be loved and just some really good people around here in this place. Couple other things. Number one, if you have not signed up for our next level discipleship classes, again, you can do that at nwcog.org. You can do it on the mobile app. We have four classes that start next Sunday at this hour. So those of you who come to this service, you want to go to the next level, you need to either come to the early service at 8 or the other service at 11 in order to attend the class and go both, because you got to do both, right? You understand that? Yeah, okay. The last thing is I want to give a shout out to my executive pastor, Tim Jones, who in the 11th hour last week came through for me about 7:30, 8:30 Christmas night. I got out of my car and made a run to my yard and, well, let's just say I got to see all my Christmas cookies again from the holidays. And yeah, so I heard the stomach flu had been going around and, well, it bit me and bit me hard. And so I told Tim, I said, dude, you're going to have to go. There is no way I'll be better by tomorrow. And I heard he did a great job. And I'm so appreciative not only of him, of the entire team that step up in the last minute and do things like that. It's greatly appreciated. So here's what I need you to do real quick. This is a little bit of participation moment. I need you everybody to stand. And I need you to raise your hands in the air like this. Now I want you to practice raising your hands in the out here like this, as if you're receiving from the Lord. And now I want you to clap once. I want you to clap twice. Now we're going to do something like we used to do when we were kids. Some of you, that's a little bit of memory challenge. But we used to do this at camp when I was a kid. And I'm going to go like this. Now, first service got a little confused. Watch. I'm going to lead this, okay? I'm going to do the one that does this. You're not. You're going to clap your hands. I told the people, when I cross my arms, my hands crossed, you clap either this way or when they come back this way, okay? And I had some ladies doing this with me. I'm like, no, you clap. You're everybody with me? So let's practice once. Well, I pay attention now, stay engaged. All righty. That's what it sounds like when a church debt-free in 2022. Woo! Yeah. I've been waiting to share this. The only good news I got when I was seeing my cookies again was I got a text from our treasurer, Pastor Jeff, we've made it home. We are out of debt after December 26th. We actually have had enough come in that we've already started money in the pool for the endowment for Turning Point Counseling Center. You'll hear more about that as we go through this next year. My hope is a start. I really want to get a $500,000 to $1 million in that account. We're going to shoot for a $500,000 to start. It'll really help Turning Point get down the road that will be here when you and I are no longer here. But let's just give the Lord a big praise about that. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat. Next Sunday, at the conclusion of this service, we will not burn it, but we're going to shred a mortgage, okay? So if you want to be a part of that, just want to let you know that that's coming. But I couldn't wait to tell you that. Thank you for being so faithful over the last several years when we tore down the old building, built a new one, and it's just a good place to be. We have one debt that remains, and that is the debt to love one another at this point, as the scriptures say, amen? Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about the posture of worship. It's going to be a standalone message. And it's something I've contemplated for several years, ever since I've been in ministry, when I was a youth pastor, four different churches or congregations. It's nothing that I've ever preached on here before, and now starting our 18th year together. But it just felt right for 2022 to start off this way. And here's the question that I pose. Does it matter what we do with our bodies when we worship God? I want to speak to you about the posture of worship, because the Bible has a lot to say about our posture when it relates to our worship. Worship is more than just an inward experience. Worship also involves an outward, visible display. Worship, it really is a visible display. And the meaning of two words that are translated most often throughout the scriptures, when you look in the Old Testament, you look in the New Testament as it relates to worship, refers to not just singing and not just praising, and which a lot of times I think we think about musical instruments and our voices in worship, but it has a lot to say about the positioning of our physical bodies. So in the Old Testament, it's a Hebrew verb, shahah. In the New Testament, it's a Greek verb, proskuneo. And it simply means this: to bow down, to become low. It's an act of reverence. Actually, that Greek word, if you were to break it right down the middle of it, the pros, means toward, to, like towards something, right? And the last part of that means to kiss. Literally translated, it would be the picture of a dog coming up to lick the hand of its master. You don't see this in the United States, probably very much, but you do see it in other countries. You definitely see it as you go back in history, that there were many times people would fall at the feet of their magistrates or their kings and actually kiss their feet. It's a positioning of the body, this word in the Old Testament, shahah, proskuneo in the Greek. In the Old Testament, that verb shahah means to show reverence. Oh, come, let us show reverence. Let us get below and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. In the New Testament, you may remember when the wise men journeyed to Bethlehem as they followed the eastern sky, the star of the child. It says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. That means, again, to bow down, to become low. It was an act of reverence. It's the same term used in Matthew 4 when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. He said to him, all these things I'll give to you if you'll fall down and worship. There it is, proskuneo, me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship. You shall bow down, become low. Show reverence only to the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It's the same verb used again at Jesus' resurrection when he greets the women at the empty tomb. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet, and what's it say? Came low to him. They worshiped him. And again, it's the same verb before Jesus ascended into heaven as his disciples watched and they worshiped him. And it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, and yet some doubted. It's the same verb that Paul uses when he speaks to about an unbeliever coming in to a worship service, being convinced and convicted that God is truly present, and thus the secrets of his heart were revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will, there it is again, worship God and report that God is truly among you. And it's the same verb that John the Revelator, when he gave his vision in Revelation, used, when it says the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. Why are we talking about this? Because it's important. Worship posture is an outward expression of an inward reality. You see, God made us to be both body and soul. You don't separate body and soul. What we do with our bodies, think about this, affects our soul. And what's taking place in our soul will often be expressed through our bodies. I wonder if that's why Paul said, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of what? What he's saying, you remember? Worship. Now, I know there's some of you in here today that'll say, well, but Pastor Jeff, I have a private faith. As if we think that we can hold our faith within the domain of our heart without it ever showing on the outside. But see, truth that is rightly understood in the heart on the inside will compel us to live out truth and rightly apply it on the outside. Our body language is a significant element in not only how we communicate with one another, but also how we communicate in our worship. So here's the question today. What is your posture communicating? What do you communicate by the way you posture your physical body? As the scriptures have noted, God has wired us to react outwardly to what affects us inwardly. And the deeper and the truer our experience that we have about something on the inside in the soul, the more likely it's going to show on the outside. I mean, just think about different things in life moments for a little bit. Even look back over the last couple of weeks. You just look at body language that speaks. When we get frustrated, you ever been like that? Ever felt like that? You ever seen me throw their hands up in the air like I'm done? Have you ever ran into somebody you haven't seen in a long time? That communicates, does it not? Hey. Versus when you see somebody and you're like, that also communicates, does it not? Or maybe when you are bored and you lose interest. I've never seen this before. When you've had enough already and you're put out. Or how about this one? Doesn't this just scream, seriously? Are you kidding me? What does your body posture say about what's going on inside of you? Our body's language is speaking. It's communicating outwardly what's going on inwardly. In other words, our posture publicizes an attitude. Now, before I go any further, because I had a bunch of people come up and do the apology parade after first service to me, or do the give me the, well, Pastor, you just so you know, listen, it's free pass day today, okay? Are we clear? So if something I say hits you and you take it like super, like he's talking about me, let it go. Take in the meat of it, but don't take it personal. Because my guess, this is an all-skate moment, and this is a moment that's going to hit everybody someplace, okay? But I am going to talk to you about what you do with your body when you're in this place together and what it communicates not only to me but to others, and does it communicate to God? Because your posture publicizes an attitude. I'll never forget, I was preaching. See, some people can do this, some people can't. I've been doing this a long time, so I can sit here and speak to you and talk to you, and I can be even thinking of what I got to think next to say it. But at the same time, I can look at you and I can say, okay, there's Ron, there's my mom, there's my dad, there's Tim. You know, I can go around, I can see you and know who that is. There are other times I am in such a zone and locked in that I can look right at you and say something and I wouldn't even know it's you, right? I'm not thinking that way. And a lot of times if you're in public speaking, you might be able to relate to that. Some of you are like, I don't know what he's talking about. But there was one time several years ago I was preaching. And I was talking about giftedness, and I was being joking. I was sarcastic. I said, and you know, there's some of you who have the spiritual gift of irritation. And I just happened to look over somewhere in this section when I said the spiritual gift of irritation. I'm at my barber getting my hair cut. He asked me about this couple. I said, yeah, no, I haven't seen them for a while. He goes, well, they left. They left our church. I was like, what do you mean they left our church? Yeah, they were in here, and she was kind of ranting about it. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. She goes, well, you were preaching one Sunday, and you looked right at her and said she had the spiritual gift of irritation. My first thought, well, if the shoe fits, Cinderella. But no, but I never said that to her. I wasn't even thinking about her. Now, afterthought of it, you know, but you know what I'm saying? I'm just being straight with you. I wasn't thinking that at all. And so don't assume just because I look at you and I make a comment this morning even that, oh man, he saw me, he's talking about me. I may not. Wouldn't you like to know? I can remember preaching one particular Sunday or several Sundays, and I won't say where in the service because that might give it away if you were in that service. But there is one gentleman who about every time after about, 2 minutes into the message, I'd watch, and he'd be sitting here, and he'd just be like this. And then every once in a while, he'd look up for a second and back there. And then the second time, after the second bob, it was out, lights out for the rest of the time, right? His wife would try to no avail, he was out. I'll never forget meeting back at the back in the lobby, and he came up to me, and this happened numerous times, like, Pastor, that was an amazing message today. Finally had enough of it and said, exactly what part, tell me. No, I didn't ask that. I wanted to. But I didn't ask exactly what part. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. You can do the right things. You can say all the right things. And yet your body and your posture can tell on you. It can offer a different narrative. And sometimes your body language may say, this isn't really important to me. I'm not into this. I can look at some of your body languages at time and I can say, I hope he stops speaking soon. I'm not personally invested in this. This doesn't apply to me. I hope somebody else gets something out of this, but this doesn't apply to me. I really don't want to be here. I see that body language. I really don't like what you're saying right now. I see that body language at times. You see, our posture publicizes, oftentimes quite demonstrably, an attitude. It's in the scripture. I'll show it to you in Genesis. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away, that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all this wealth. And Jacob saw the attitude of Laban. Did you know you could see an attitude? Jacob saw an attitude. Laban's attitude was visible. His posture, his demeanor, it spoke volumes. That's why the wisdom writer in Proverbs says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Later in Proverbs 25, the north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue can an angry countenance. You see, like it or not, your posture, my posture, our body language largely reflects the posture of our heart. And when your heart is filled with joy and celebration, it can't help but being exposed and expressed by your body. There are times when I've looked out, and this is where the apology parade came after first service, because I said, I watched, especially some of you men, during worship, you'll stand there and you're like, everybody else singing, people got their hands up, some people are clapping. No smile, no nothing. Just. And I used to think, well, now Jeff, I used to get real judgmental about that, you know, like I know that guy loves Jesus and I know he knows the word, and I shouldn't judge by his outward appearance. I can't say what's going on in his heart. And yet I'm not so sure I agree with the old Jeff anymore. Here's what got me thinking about it. I think it's hard to believe the sincerity of a man who can stand rigid and unmoved in worship, refusing to sing, refusing to attempt to participate, and yet to have claimed the joy of the Lord in their heart. Stay with me. And yet, said same man can watch a football game in the privacy of his own home and can jump from his recliner, shout, cheer, and wave his hands and celebrate when his team scores a touchdown? Maybe the question is, what matters most to you? This at church. Oh, yeah! Home? What matters most? See the proper posture of worship, here's what it comes down to. And this is why I can't necessarily always judge that, but I can at least challenge it. It starts with your heart. God is most concerned about our heart. We are not to hide our worship in our hearts. You say, well, but my worship, my faith, Pastor Jeff, it's a private faith. But you're in a corporate community worship setting, friend. Ain't nothing private about it now. This is a community. This isn't about you keeping private in your faith. This is us together now. You're worshiping with others around you. Others are near you. Others see you. Consider what you're communicating to those around you, not just by what you're singing, not just by what you're saying, but by the way that you are acting or choosing to not act. I mean, after all, you wouldn't want to become too zealous or excited about Jesus now, would you? That was sarcasm, by the way. Worship is about your heart. I got to be honest with you. Many times, I'm encouraged by looking at somebody else in this room worship. There are sometimes, yeah, I bail out, and I'll look around, and I'm not focused on the lyrics. I'm not focused on what's up there. I'm watching somebody else and just going, wow, that's awesome. Happened for me Christmas Eve at our second service. I'm sitting right over here. Matter of fact, Pastor Tim and Danny Jones and their family are sitting right over there. We're on the last song, Joy to the World, and the rendition that Raphael and the team picked out, I loved it. It was awesome. But I looked over, and I saw the Jones' oldest boy, who's a middle school student, and I watched his face, and I watched him singing Joy to the World, and I was like, dang, yeah! It moved me so much, I even went over and said that to him. I said, Josiah, I just want you to know, you blessed my heart by watching you worship. You know, that's okay, right? It's not supposed to be that we're looking at each other all the time. You know, we always hear it's an audience of one. But why do we gather together in the first place? It's to encourage the saints. It's to encourage one another with song and spiritual song. That's what the Bible says. But it all begins in the heart. And your posture, though, often reflects what's taking place in your heart. And so remember that the proper posture of worship starts with your heart, and it's not just going through the motions. God is never impressed with us when we simply go through the motions. The Bible says this, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I'm not listening. Why would God not listen to a prayer? Listen, he goes on. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. It's not just going through the motions. Can I challenge you? This is a challenge moment, right? When we worship and we do a song that you've heard before, do you put it on autopilot and just kind of do the raised hand thing, but you're really not into it that much? When's the last time you took in the words, the lyrics, and listened to them and say, how does this apply to my heart today? When's the last time a familiar song you really thought about what it's saying? And that when you sing it, that's you saying, I agree with that. I mean that. How often does that happen? Not just going through the motions. It's also not about making a commotion. We should not assume a physical posture simply so others will see us and be impressed when they look at us. Josiah Jones wasn't doing what he was doing. I looked over at him because, oh, Pastor Jeff's watching me or everybody's watching me. I better do this. He wasn't. It was as genuine as it could be. I could see it as clear. But I've also seen other people when they kind of, you know, they're worried about what everybody's thinking. And they're trying to make a commotion about it. The Bible says this, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. See, when you worship, it's not about making a commotion so you draw attention to you. Now, here's the thing. This is kind of the tongue-in-cheek part that's hard for me. because I also understand I have a dual role. Not only am I a worshiper of Jesus, that I'm a believer in Christ, but I'm almost a leader of a flock. And there are times I'm not good at that. There are times when, guess what? I'm here and I don't want to worship. There are times I don't want to sing that song again. There are times I don't want to lift my hands. I've had a hard week. I'm tired. If I could be honest with you, there are those times. There are times, though, I still do it, and here's why. Obedience. And I'm the leader. And the last thing this flock needs is to look over to the side wherever Jeff's at and see Jeff going, when Jeff ought to be leading. Do I always want to do that? No. I'm just being honest with you. Not always. But that's one of the challenges for me this new year, is even when I don't know that I want to, I need to. And I'll get to that in a little bit of why that's true, right? It's not about a commotion, though. May your outward actions reflect your inward reality, my friend. It's not about seeking a promotion with God. Do not assume a physical posture, falsely believing that God will be more pleased with you if you raise your hands, if you fall on your knees. It's not what makes you right with God. Let me tell you a little secret that the Bible doesn't say it like this, but I can translate it and let you, I know it says it. There is nothing you can do that will cause God to love you any more than he already does. And there is nothing that you can do that God will cause God to love you any less than he already does. It's all grace is what I'm trying to say to you. And so this only happens because it's an outer expression of this. Sometimes we do this out of obedience to say, because I love you, God. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. The New Testament says, and that is what some of you were, sinners without hope, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Why do I share that scripture with you? Because all of this and getting on your knees and all that will not get you a promotion with God. It doesn't make you any more acceptable in his sight. The only thing that makes you acceptable is you are washed in the blood of Jesus. It's all by grace. And so it starts with the heart. It's not going through the motions. It's not about making a commotion. It's not about getting a promotion with God. It's not about being afraid of getting a demotion in the eyes of others. Do not refrain from assuming a physical posture. In other words, don't keep your hands down when you really want to put them up because you're afraid of what somebody else might think about you. Because I don't know if that's acceptable in this church. See, flattery is a trap, the Bible says. Evil men are caught in it, but good men stay away and they sing for joy. Paul says, if we're out of our minds, as they say, it's for God. If we're in our right mind, then it's for you. Did you know that the greatest prison people live in is the fear of what other people will think of them? That's the greatest prison a lot of us live in. And here's the cool thing. What God knows about you is more important than what others think about you. Did you catch that? What God knows about you is more important than what others think about you. Now, here's the thing. What God knows about me is everything. He knows what's in my heart. He knows when this is obedience. He knows when this is just an expression of what's going on inside. He knows when this is all for show. He knows when it's about commotion or I'm trying to earn his promotion and it's not right. So what do we do with this? If it starts with the heart and you're like, here's the thing. I want us to become a church that's more expressive. Always be biblical, but I want to be more expressive church. I want it to be a place in worship. If you want to raise your hands, you don't have to worry about, is that okay or not? If you want to just get down on your knees in the pew right where you're at and turn and kneel, it's cool. I don't want it to have to be something I have to tell you all the time. I don't want it to have to be something that we have to lead you into all the time. I know it's going to take some practice, but I think there's a lot of people that want to do more of that, or they want to clap after a song, or they want to give God a shout at the end of something, but you're scared to. Don't be. It's okay. If I'll promise you this, if I ever think somebody, if we're out of line, I'll tell you. Is that fair? I'll just say, and no, we're not going to do, that's too far, we're not doing that in a setting like this. But until then, so how do we start with the heart? The first thing is this: for a proper posture of worship, be intentional. Train yourself to be alert and engaged in worship. Focus on the words that you sing and say. Give yourself wholly to God. Come ready to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. How do you do that? Well, here's a great start for some of you. Be on time. Can I just be honest with you? Some of y'all are the latest people I ever met. I don't know what you do, if you dink around in the morning or what, or, you know, I know some of us all have bad days at times, but, you know, you get your coffee. I get it. Hey, listen, I don't care if you bring coffee in here. We wouldn't have opened it and done that if it wasn't okay. But plan for it is all I'm saying. Be on time. Don't think, well, I ain't getting in there until Jeff starts speaking. You're missing it, friend. You're missing the heart of worship. Let me say it like this. Let's make it human perspective. If you were the boss of your company and organization, and every week you required your staff, your team to gather for a week, and you wanted to give vision as the boss, and you said, be here at this time, and a third of your people walked in 10 minutes late every time, how are you going to feel about that as the boss? So we're clear, I ain't the boss. Pastor Raphael ain't the boss. God's the boss. And when we walk in late, like, ain't no big deal. I can finish my, oh, let's finish our conversation. We can get in there a little later. You're saying that to him, nobody else. That this, what you got going on, is more important than this with him as our audience. I'll give you a better one. Spider-Man came out over Christmas break, right? My kid had been waiting to see this movie, my youngest. We had to arrive early. We had to get our popcorn. We had to get our pop. We had to watch all the previews. You could not be late to this movie. You understand me? Think about this. If you and I would take that same attitude about a box office release and yet not make a same intentionality to worship our risen Savior, what does that say about what's most important to us? Be intentional. Be on time. I know there will be times that things happen. I get that. I'm saying on an overall thing, be on time. Be intentional. Be engaged. Participate regardless of your musical ability. Regardless if you don't like the song selection or not. Regardless if you think you can't sing at all. But engage. The word engage means occupy the attention. Emotionally connect with the lyrics of the song. Can I say this to you? It's not always easy. I don't think it's always easy. And if you're one of those, I agree. Sometimes it's a struggle for me. Sometimes I'm just emotionally disengaged. But let's work on that this next year together, okay? Can we do that? Let's work on that. Let's discipline ourselves to engage not only our mind, but our hearts and our bodies to honor God. Why? Here's the big one. Because he's worthy. God is worthy. He's worthy for you to lift your hands. He's worthy for you to kneel down. He's worthy for you to bow down. He's worthy for you to fall prostrate before. Be overwhelmed, church, with a sense of God's greatness. Be overwhelmed with a sense of God's goodness. Be overwhelmed with a sense of God's provision. Be overwhelmed by the grace of Jesus and your need of him. Worship God. Listen. Not always because you feel like it, but because he is worthy. To love the Lord your God and worship him with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. We're just going to practice that for a little bit before you go. This is going to be out of the box for some of you, and I don't care. I'm okay with that. But I'm going to challenge you. And I know that some of you, and this is a free pass too. If you're not physically able to do that, I get it. It's okay. It's okay if you can't physically do it. Do it here. But for those of you who can, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. And now I'm going to ask you to get on your knees. Right where you're at. And I want you to listen to these words that we're going to sing, and we're just going to do this for just a little bit. The words go like this. We bow down and confess that you are Lord in this place. You, God, are all I need. It's your face I seek. In the presence of your light, we bow down. We bow down. Let's worship him just for a little bit together, and I'll close us in prayer.
In this place.
beautiful look this is. To watch the church of God on its knees before Jesus. I want you to take that into this new year, that you would confess that He is Lord. And if we would just make that our prayer, that He is all I need. It's His face I seek. That He would have Lord of our hearts and our minds. Father God, thank You for meeting us here today. And even just for a short bit, Lord, as we all joined each other on our knees before You, we proclaim that You, Jesus, are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Your word tells us that we can choose to kneel down now as an outer expression of what's happened in an inward reality because of You. But there will be a day for every man and woman and child, whether they profess Your name as Savior or not, everyone, every knee will bow, every tongue confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth that You are Lord. So God, would You note today that we do it willingly, we do it joyfully, because You're our King, and we praise You and we worship You and we honor You today because You are worthy. We love You, Father. And in a corporate shout of amen, we agree. And God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Before you walk out today, to give you a head start, we're going to do something I haven't really ever done in 18 years, I don't think. And it'll be a little accountability both ways. We're going to walk through a book of the Bible together. We will take breaks throughout, here and there, because of different events and guest speakers. But starting next Sunday, we are going to start a series in the book of 1 Corinthians that Paul wrote to the church of God in Corinth. If you want to get a head start, begin reading chapter 1. We will make our way probably up at least till chapter 3, probably through chapter 4, and then we'll take a break because of Easter. And we'll jump ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 because it talks about resurrection, and then we'll go back and catch it in order as it goes. But I wanted to let you know, and here's why I feel so passionate about, as I thought about what book of the Bible would I want to go to. The more I see of what's going on in our world around us, I'm concerned. And here's the concern, that we are allowing as the church, the culture, to invade and instruct the church rather than the church invading the culture. And that is exactly why Paul wrote a letter to the church in Corinth, because he saw the same thing. And so you're going to see some similarities. You're going to see the concerns that Paul had, not only in our own church, but in the church abroad. And so I pray that you'll come with an open heart, open mind. We're going to dig into the scripture. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the first four verses is probably all we'll get through, but to kind of set the stage for where we're going for the year, okay? I hope you'll be back for that. We'll also, at the end of this service next week, we'll shred a mortgage together. Is that exciting? Let's give God another big round of applause. It's good stuff. Go with God, He'll go with you. We'll see you next Sunday.